time out to update the news, and then we'll be right back with more beautiful music on. Well, let's see, not tonight, no. We've got the news and then Mystery Theater next. Music after Mystery Theater.
And beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
10 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford appears before the House Judiciary Subcommittee Thursday to answer questions regarding his pardon of former President Nixon. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The hearing will center on 14 questions. One will seek detailed information about Mr. Ford's decision with Alexander Haig during the week before Mr. Nixon announced his resignation. Other questions to go into the matter of Mr. Ford's knowledge of former President Nixon's health at the time he announced the pardon and whether he knew of any criminal charges likely to be brought against Mr. Nixon. Some Democratic members of the committee say they don't really expect anything new and view President Ford's appearance as a shrewd political move designed to overcome the generally unfavorable public reaction to the pardon. The unprecedented appearance will be broadcast live on many of these CBS Radio Network stations at 10 o'clock Eastern Time Thursday morning. John Dean testified at the Watergate cover-up trial Wednesday that Mr. Nixon's closest aides, John Mitchell, H.R. Haldeman, and John Ehrlichman, were involved in the consuming flurry of the cover-up activity after the Watergate break-in. Dean is expected to remain on the witness stand for the rest of the week. Watergate Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski says former President Nixon has made a weak case to support his argument that testifying in the Watergate cover-up trial poses a serious risk to his life. Mr. Jaworski told Judge Sirica the government will not insist upon Mr. Nixon's testimony, but he did urge that a panel of independent doctors go to California to examine the former president. Sirica is studying the request. More after this.
Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story. New faces, key races.
Time examines the credentials of an unusual gubernatorial candidate, Edmund G. Brown, Jr. of California, the man favored to succeed Ronald Reagan.
Time peels away the private layers of this public man who cracks jokes in Latin, was a corporation lawyer,
a follower of Cesar Chavez,
and was California's Secretary of State.
Time also watches other races in the state houses, the Senate, and the House.
In the economy, Time's Board of Economists says the recession will continue into 1975 and predicts unemployment will rise to 7% by next summer.
In the essay, a report on President Ford's proposals for reforming the U.S. regulatory agencies.
In the world, why Henry Kissinger does not accept the idea of the decline of the West in spite of the present crisis of leadership.
Britain, the significance of Prime Minister Wilson's tiny victory.
Monte Carlo, how three Saudi Arabian princes dropped more than $6 million at roulette.
And then Time's review.
Criticisms of 8 films, 3 plays, and 3 books.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting.
Including you.
Congress has sent to the White House another version of the controversial Turkish military aid bill. White House News Secretary Ron Nelson says President Ford is leaning in the direction of a second veto. More on the story from Royal McLaughlin.
The Congress has passed a measure which would cut off arms to Turkey on December 10th or before if we find out that any of the arms shipped end up in Cyprus. If you feel that the Congress has already done that, you are right. Only the date is different. The original resolution said cut off arms aid immediately. Then President Ford vetoed it. And so the Congress, which was supposed to recess last Friday, had to stay around and try to override that veto. It failed. The cutoff legislation is attached to a funding measure which is needed so that some government agencies can continue to pay their bills. Republican leaders on the Hill say that President Ford won't accept the latest so-called compromise resolution and that when he gets home tonight from his politicking around the country, he will veto it. And then there will be yet another attempt to override. If you feel you have heard all this before, you almost have. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
House Ways and Means Chairman Wilbur Mills has remained in seclusion since an embarrassing incident last week in Washington. Park Service police stopped Mills' car. His face was scratched. A young lady in the car ended up in the tidal basin, and police said Mills was intoxicated. Mills went home to Arkansas to campaign Wednesday and talked with CBS News correspondent John Meyer.
All of us have been having some champagne, and I haven't had anything in a long time, and a little bit goes a long ways when you haven't been drinking anything. I didn't consider I was drunk by any means.
Congressman Mills, more after this.
Ooh. My mother works nights scrubbing floors just to get the extra money to send me to college. She's something else, that lady. But now the school doesn't have enough money. And my chemistry class may be discontinued. If I don't take chemistry, I'll never become a doctor. And my becoming a doctor is Mama's dream. After all, I'm the first in my family ever to go to college. Mama's always praying I'll stick it out and get my degree now. How am I going to tell her what's happening to the school?
In 41 black colleges today, there are thousands of dedicated students who may never get a complete education. Their schools need money. Your contributions can help. Give to the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Five ladies of the evening in Rotterdam, Holland, and 30 agents for such ladies applied for unemployment benefits today, saying they were thrown out of work when police moved in to stop a protest by local residents. The ladies and agents also said they couldn't get a decent night's rest because of the disturbance in their district and asked to be put up in a hotel in addition to receiving unemployment. The city said no and no. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. The weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, and vicinity. Night and morning fog with mostly sunny afternoons through Friday. Lows in the mid-40s, highs Thursday and Friday in the upper 60s, winds light and variable. Chance of measurable rainfall is near 0% through Thursday night. Presently 57 degrees at the Lake Union Building. The wind is calm, 59 at SeaTac. Relative humidity, 70%. Sea level barometric pressure 30.19 and rising. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater next. Past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our house. It's a haunted house, we admit. Haunted by strange creatures, hidden terrors, the cries of spirits, and the moans of unravaged victims. But it's a pleasant place to visit, even if you wouldn't want to live here. We're going to introduce you to a most unusual heroine. Not the sort of woman you might expect to encounter in a story of crime and violence.
No, Mr. Wormer. This one is not a cop. She's been acting like a cop, but that's not what she is.
Please. Oh, please let me go. I didn't mean any harm.
Oh, no, sugar. Please. You're no cop at all. What you are is a nun.
Our mystery drama, The Final Vow, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Rosemary Rice. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you feel like having a cold Budweiser, do you automatically reach for a glass? Well, sure, Bud's a great beer any way you drink it, but without a glass, you're really missing something. Now take that wonderful Budweiser head of foam, for instance. Those bubbles, tiny though they are, still amount to something pretty special at the top of your glass. Taste appeal and eye appeal. Two results of exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation. It takes a lot longer to brew Budweiser that way, but brewing beer right does make a difference that you can taste. That's why, when you say Budweiser, You've really said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? Oh, my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Spiritu Sancte. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in coelis, sanctificuror nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua sicut.
You're hearing a familiar sound at the Holy Name Convent, the sound of the Holy Sisters at their devotions. But if you had been allowed to enter the chapel and seen the faces half hidden among the folds of their wimples, you may have seen something more than sacred concentration, because one of their number is missing.
Sister Pamela? Sister, are you in there?
Yes, I'm here. Come in.
Oh, Sister Pamela, you've been crying.
No, I'm all right. I'm just not feeling very well. I asked Reverend Mother if I could be excused this morning.
Oh, now, you can't fool me. I can see rivers on your cheeks, Sister. Now, you've done nothing but cry for weeks.
Sorry, Sister Jim, I tried so hard to...
Why can't you be happy, dear? Don't you know it's spring? Can't you feel God's love for the world when you see a day like this?
It's my fault, Sister Jim. I can only blame myself.
Oh, nonsense. There's no one to blame. You're young, child. Our tears are a pleasure when you're young. Here, let me wash your face. Sister, you're not thinking about what we spoke of the other day.
I haven't been thinking of anything. I'm trying not to think.
And have you prayed?
Oh, I've prayed. I've prayed for humility, for obedience. But there wasn't any answer in my heart. Only silence. Do you suppose that means...
Hush, child.
But if I'm wrong, sister, if I truly belonged here, wouldn't I know? Wouldn't I feel it inside?
Our Lord called you when you were a little girl, almost from the day you were born.
Oh, maybe it only seems that because I was raised at the Holy Name, because of an accident of time and place. How can I really know, sister?
We mustn't talk about it now. I have much more interesting things to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I didn't come here to wash your pretty little face. I came here to tell you some good news. We're going on a trip.
A trip?
Now, won't that be nice? Why, it's just what you need, I think. A nice little journey somewhere. And Reverend Mother wants to talk to you about it. That's what I came to tell you.
She wants to see me now?
Yes, child. Right now.
Sister Pamela, have you ever heard of a man named William Michael Downey? He was a student at the Holy Name long before you were born.
No, Reverend Mother. I,
I don't know.
Consider yourself fortunate.
Pardon? Oh,
never mind. This man, Downey, and Sister Lydia were once very close. Her affection for the man is the wonder of my life.
I don't think I understand.
Well, he's just written her a letter. It asked for some representative of the Holy Name to pay him a visit. Not on a spiritual errand. Well, I might as well tell you everything. The man is a known criminal.
Criminal?
He spent many years in prison, and far too many, I gather, out of it. His crimes have earned him a certain amount of material success, even a degree of false respectability. You know what I'm talking about, sister.
I think so.
But I'm sending you and Sister Jem to see him. It's only a day's journey. Now, you'll have to take the train into the city. If you left tomorrow morning, you could return by Saturday or even Friday evening.
But, Reverend Mother...
I'm sure the trip will do you good, sister. I know how peaked you've been lately.
May I speak, Reverend Mother?
Very well.
There's something I've been wanting to talk to you about. Something about myself.
Please, sister, not now. Oh. This errand is a duty we owe Sister Lydia. As you know, the poor woman is dying.
Yes, I know, but...
I'd send someone in your place, but you know the difficulties we've had with illness. Our students are suffering and our chores are neglected. Now, we can discuss any personal problems you have on your return.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Sister Therese will give you your instructions about the journey. Don't be afraid of this man, Downey. Your strength is greater than his. And Sister Pamela, one more thing.
Yes?
Take good care of Sister Jem. She may not have your courage.
It must be 10 years since I've been at a railway station. It makes me dizzy.
I think the exit is this way.
Well, now, don't walk so fast, Chuck. Did Sister Therese say it was very far to Mr. Downey's house?
Oh, not very far. She said we could reach it by bus or taxi.
Oh, well, let's take a taxi, dear. I really am exhausted.
Oh, poor Sister Jem. This is a long trip for you.
Well, I don't mind. For Sister Lydia's sake. I'm glad Mr. Downey wrote her, aren't you?
I don't know. I've yet to hear anything good about Mr. Downey.
Why, there's something good in everyone, child. Did you hear the chimes? It sounds like the bell in our tower.
Oh, it's quite a grand house.
Well, so you're here.
Mr. Downey?
Yeah, I'm here. Come in, sisters.
I'm Sister Pamela, and this is Sister Jem from the Holy Name.
Yeah, I know. I know where you're from, sisters. Come in, sit down.
Oh, thank you. I am a bit tired.
Can I offer you something? A drink, maybe? No, I mean, water or something.
Well, not for me, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Downey. We stopped off in the restaurant before we came here.
Yeah, fine. Well, how's Sister Lydia?
She's all right, but as you know, she was too ill to make this journey.
Yeah. She's a funny woman. It's 40 years since I left the Holy Name. She still writes to me. I got a card at Easter, a card at Christmas, a letter on my birthday. I got a hunch she even mentions me in her prayers.
You should be very glad.
Why? You think your prayers have helped me?
I do, yes.
Have all your prayers been successful, sister?
Your home is lovely. You must be a great admirer of religious thought.
You haven't answered my question, sister.
Prayers aren't business deals, Mr. Downey. And you can't judge them as successes or failures.
It sounds like your prayers haven't been working out so good. But then you're new at the game, aren't you? I mean, you look very young, sister. How long have you been at the Holy Name?
I was a student there before taking my vows.
I see. It was a lot easier to join the order, wasn't it? Instead of going out and facing the cold, cruel world.
I'd rather not talk about me, Mr. Downey.
Look, I've been through it all myself, you know. In all my years, I never found a better hideout than the Holy Name. Yeah. The world's a noisy, messy place full of problems. Why ask for trouble if you can avoid it?
Please, Mr. Downey.
Okay, sister. Look, I'll get down to business.
Just what is your business, Mr. Downey?
Well, as you can see, sister, it's art. Religious art.
What?
Yeah. And I got a present for Sister Lydia. Here. There it is.
Oh, Mr. Downey.
It's St. Francis. Oh, how beautiful it is.
Here you are. That's a little heavy, but it'll fit right into that suitcase.
It looks very old.
Well, when I heard the old woman wasn't feeling well, I thought I'd like to send her something. It should look nice in the chapel, don't you think?
This is very kind of you, Mr. Downey.
I would have preferred handing it to Sister Lydia myself, but I'll be dead. I'll be blessed if I'll set foot in that gloomy old place myself again.
Yes. You would be blessed.
Hey, I see it.
Of course. How old is it, Mr. Downey?
Oh, about 5 centuries.
What?
Comes from the Medici Palace. Sculpted by Donatello, you know him?
Donatello, of course. What? It must be terribly valuable.
I think the word is priceless.
I don't know what to say. It's such a magnificent...
Well, you just tell Sister Lydia that little Willie Downey is sorry he never replied to her letters. He hopes this will make it up to her.
You know something? Sister Jem was right about you.
Yeah? About what?
She said there was good in everyone.
Let me carry the suitcase for a while, dear. It's so awfully heavy.
No, no. It's all right.
Now, are you sure about the train time?
Maybe I'd better look at the schedule then.
I just can't figure out all those tiny little numbers, even if I could see them without my glasses.
Let's see. Sister Therese said there would be a train at 7:45.
Oh, dear. Well, that's almost an hour from now.
I'm sure there must be an earlier one. Yes, here it is. The next train's at 6:39, lower level.
Oh, that's only 3 minutes from now. We'll have to hurry. Oh, dear. How awfully thank you.
Thank you. All we can do is try.
Can I help you, sister?
What?
Let me help you with that suitcase. It looks pretty heavy.
No, I think I can manage. Come to think of it. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Would you?
You're going to the low level?
Yes. The Bromwell train 40. It leaves very soon, I'm afraid.
Don't worry, we'll make it.
Come along, Jim.
Oh, thank heavens for that young man.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't walk the fence.
Oh, maybe this is a mistake. Sister,
maybe we'd better wait for this 7:45.
Please, it's just a little ways longer, Sister Jem.
Can you see him?
Oh, the crowds are so thick.
I just don't think my poor speaking mate.
He must be waiting for us at the gate. There it is, gate 40.
I don't see anyone.
Perhaps he went on the train.
But why would he do that?
I don't know. Why isn't he here?
Oh, Charles, look. They're closing the gate. We've missed the train.
Where's the young man? Why isn't he here?
Oh, Sister Jem, he's not here. Where could he be?
I don't know. You don't possibly think he...
No.
It can't be. He was just being polite. He wanted to help.
Oh, child, why did you trust him? Why?
He's got to be here, Sister Jem. He's just got to be here with the statue.
But the young man isn't there. And very soon, Sister Pamela and Sister Jem will draw the only possible conclusion. That this young man was not a Boy Scout looking for his good deed for the day. That he was the kind of young man who hangs around places like railroad terminals
looking for the good deal of the day. And it looks like he's managed to get one of the best deals of his life. We'll learn more when I return shortly with Act Two.
There's a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A spirit of honesty and integrity. A free spirit. A spirit that demands products which fill your utilitarian needs while satisfying your good taste and your desire for economy. We at Buick have felt the spirit and are dedicated to your sense of freedom. Our crisply designed, solidly built 1975 Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buick Electra, LeSabre, Riviera, Century, Skylark, Apollo, and the gutsy new Buick Skyhawk are dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Hey, there's an exciting new attitude at Buick. Take advantage of it at your local Buick dealer.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Even the bells of the Holy Name Convent have a sad and hollow sound today as Sister Pamela sits with head bowed before the Reverend Mother and listens to a different kind of litany from her lips.
Are you a child, an infant? God gave you a brain. Do you think your vows excused you from having common sense, did you?
No, Reverend Mother.
You were given a trust, sister, a sacred trust. No matter how wicked that man Downey is, his gift was an offer of repentance. I won't even speak of its material value.
Please, Reverend Mother, I've said how sorry I am.
Yes, I know you want forgiveness. That would be simple for both of us, wouldn't it? All right, Sister Pamela. You have my forgiveness.
Thank you.
Only, what shall I give Sister Lydia? Our sincere regrets. Do you know what that statue would have meant to her? To hold it in her hands, to know who gave it? Can't you see it? It was more than a gift to the Holy Name. It was her reward for a lifetime of devotion and faith.
Well, perhaps the police will find it. I pray for that, Reverend Mother. It's all I pray for.
We're all praying, sister. All right. What happened at the police station?
Nothing, I'm afraid. They gave Sister Jem and me pictures to look at, pictures of men, criminals. We couldn't recognize the one in the terminal.
Oh. Well, that lieutenant who was here, what was his name?
Lieutenant Jacoby.
Did he hold out any hope?
Not very much.
No, of course he couldn't. The thief was clever. He was probably accustomed to preying upon the innocent. And don't be too proud of that innocence, child. It isn't synonymous with virtue. Well, what next?
Well, we're going back to the police headquarters this afternoon. They're going to have us look at some men, a lineup, they call it.
All right then, sister. I won't keep you any longer. Didn't you hear me? You can go.
Reverend Mother, I wanted to say something.
Then, please, say it.
I wish to leave the order, Reverend Mother.
You can't know what you're saying.
I know, Reverend Mother.
Sister, you're not a child. You must not respond to trouble like a child.
I've thought about it. I've thought and prayed.
When a child is naughty, it thinks of running away from home. Your home is with God, sister. You cannot run away from him.
I'm not running away from God. I wish to leave the order. I'm not suited, Reverend Mother. I've known that for some time. Mr. Downey was right about me.
Mr. Downey? Why would anything that man said affect you?
He said, some people retreat to God, advance towards him. Well, that's what I've done. I've hidden myself from the world for the wrong reasons.
Is that so bad, Sister Pamela? Sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons.
But I haven't been honest. Not with myself, not with you, and not with God. What happened in that terminal was like a punishment.
No, sister.
If you had sent someone else, the statue would be here by now in the chapel. I know.
Well, it may yet be. We can't know the future.
I have to leave. There's no other way. I must.
All right, sisters. Be sure and look them over carefully. All the men you'll see on that stage have worked the same kind of crime in the past. Helping women with their luggage and then helping themselves to the contents.
Lieutenant Jacoby, do you think the man knows what he stole? Its true value?
Oh, doubtful. His ignorance may work in our favor, so we're keeping the facts quiet. If he knew he had a statue worth a fortune, he'd make himself harder to find.
But it has no price. It's an art treasure. He couldn't really sell it, could he?
There are crooks and crooks these days, sister. There are collectors who don't mind stolen merchandise, even if they can't display it openly. Just the same, we're assuming the thief won't know it's anything but a hunk of bronze. Who knows? Maybe he'll think it's a lamp. Well, we ready? Here come the boys.
Lieutenant, they can't see us, can they?
No, sister, but you'll see them, all right. All right, number one, step forward.
He isn't the one, I'm sure.
Step back into place, number one. Number two.
No. He's much older than the man.
Do any of them look right, sister?
Well, let me see. One, two, three, four. Wait. That one at the end.
Have we hit the jackpot?
I'm not sure. I didn't see him for more than a second or two, but he's the same age and size.
Number six, front and center. Look at him again, sister.
I'm just not sure.
What's your name, mister?
James K. Bresson. What can I do for you?
I'll ask the questions. What are you doing with yourself these days, Bresson? Still working the terminals?
Oh, you got me all wrong, mister. I'm duly employed.
Who would employ you, Bresson?
I work for the Gramercy Printing Company over on 29th Street in the shipping department.
Not snatching any more suitcases?
I never snatched any suitcase. That last time was a bum rap.
Well, what do you think?
The voice. The voice sounds like him. Sister Jen, I never heard the voice.
You ever go to church, Bresson?
Yeah, how's that?
You ever do much business with nuns?
What is this? You trying to convert me?
He could be. He could be the one. Sister Jim.
No, no. I don't think so, child. And I remember a much taller man. A much thinner.
Bresson, you were hanging around the Union Terminal on Friday night, weren't you?
Friday?
Say around 6:30?
No, Friday night I was with my girl. You don't believe me, ask her. I was at her apartment, 5 o'clock to midnight.
What's the name of your girl?
Her name's Bess Mackin. She lives at 200 Rice Avenue. I never left her for a minute.
You see, child, he couldn't be the one.
Don't let an alibi fool you.
I'm sure he's not the one, Sister Pamela. Now, let's not make things worse by accusing an innocent man. No. I don't want to make things worse.
Well, sister?
No. I guess I'm not sure after all, Lieutenant. I'm not sure about anything. You wouldn't do this, Sister Pamela. I just know it's a mistake.
I can't help it, Sister Jem. I have to go.
I can't even recognize you, child. I've forgotten how you look in ordinary clothes.
Yes, they are ordinary, Sister Jem. And maybe I am, too.
Have you said goodbye? To everyone.
Yes. I've just seen Sister Lydia. She was very weak, but she still managed to ask me that question.
What question was that?
About the statue of St. Francis. She asked if it had been recovered yet.
Oh, dear. Then you know that they haven't told her it was stolen. Only that it was misplaced.
Yes. She still thinks they'll find it. She still believes that she'll see it before she dies.
Yes?
Mrs. Gunderson?
Yes?
I was told you had a room to rent.
Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. You all alone?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Pamela Wiley.
Well, I don't know. People have to be real careful these days.
It was Father McKinney at St. Mary's who recommended your place.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? I've got a nice room on the second floor. $14 a week, and it includes breakfast and supper. You go out to work?
I will be.
Whereabouts?
I work at a company nearby.
Uh-huh. You work there long?
Well, I haven't started yet. I just went for a job interview this morning, and I start work on Monday.
Oh. What kind of a place is it?
It's a printing company. It's called the Gramercy Printing Company on 29th Street.
Hey, who's got the Fisher invoices? Come on, I need all them packing slips.
Well, well, what happened to Bucktooth Betty?
I'm sorry?
The girl who used to work here. She get canned or something?
Oh, I really wouldn't know.
Oh, you're her replacement, is that it? Oh, I gotta tell you, honey, you're some improvement.
I suppose that's a compliment.
Let me give you a tip about this place. Now, don't be an eager beaver. Nobody likes a hard worker. They spoil it for the rest of us. My name's Jimmy Presson. What's yours?
Pamela Wiley.
Well, give me a hand, honey.
What?
Yeah.
Oh!
Now, don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. Just looking for the evidence. Wedding rings, engagement rings, and so forth. Now, everything checks out okay. And I mean everything.
May I have my hand back, please?
Listen, you live in town? Not in the sticks or anything like that.
I live in the city, yes.
Well, maybe we could take in a movie tonight.
I'm sorry. I'm busy tonight. I'm busy most nights.
Look, if you're afraid to go out with me alone... I mean, if you've been hearing things from some of the chicks around here...
Oh, no, I haven't heard anything.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a little party on Friday night. Just a few friends of mine. There's some of them from the company. How about joining us?
Well, I don't know if I can.
Well, make an effort, okay? I'll give you the address. It's 200 Rice Avenue, apartment 4C. The name is Bess Mackin.
Bess Mackin.
Yeah, come around 9, okay?
Yes, I'll try.
Hey, honey, I'm sure glad you could make it. You're just what this party needs, baby. A new face. And a real pretty one, too.
I I don't know if I could stay very long.
Oh, sure you can, honey. You can stay close to old Jimmy. I want to find out if it's true what they call you at the office.
Huh? What do they call me?
The Saint. Now, didn't you know? Saint Pamela. I don't mind that, honey. Saints are okay. They have a way of turning into sinners.
Please, if you don't mind, I'm awfully warm.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, baby, warm you up.
Please take your hand away.
Come on, St. Pamela, I know what you need. You need some fun and games, and I'm the guy who knows all the rules.
Don't! Stop it! There you are.
Well, hiya, Bess, honey. Hey, I want you to meet somebody. I want you to meet St. Pamela. Saint, this is my good friend, Bess Mackin.
Oh, you bum. I saw what you were doing.
Oh, just getting acquainted, that's all. Getting to know what a saint is like.
Well, get out of here. This is my place, and I want you out of it.
Oh, please, I didn't mean to cause any trouble. I'll leave.
No, 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 it's him I want out of here. Did you hear me, Jimmy? Get out!
Sure, Bess, sure. I'm going. I'll be over at the Silver Crown if you get lonely for me.
Oh, that bum. That miserable bum. I don't know why all the men I meet are bums. I just don't understand.
Oh, Bess, please, don't drink anymore. It's not helping.
Oh, nothing helps. Nothing. You know what life is, honey? I'll tell you what it is. It's like one of those wrapped boxes under the Christmas tree in the department store. Just a fancy package. Nothing in it.
Bess, may I talk to you?
Me?
Well, the reason I stayed is I wanted to ask you about yourself.
Why would you care about me?
Are you alone? Do you have any family?
My mother's dead.
And your father?
That bum. He ought to be.
Bess, do you ever go to church?
Me? Of course not.
Even when you were a little girl?
Oh, sure, when I was a kid. Oh, that Jimmy, that dirty stinker. Why do I do it? Why do I put up with it?
Well, does he treat you badly?
Oh, he doesn't treat me, period. You think he ever takes me anyplace? If we go to a bar, who do you think buys the drinks? He says that's his idea of women's lib.
Well, why do you do it then? Put up with him.
He gave me one present in my whole life. One lousy present. Not a piece of junk.
Pretty bracelet.
Oh, it's junk. I know where he got it. At that pawn shop around the corner from that cheap crook Wormer.
A pawn shop?
I bet he didn't even pay for it. I bet him and Wormer had a poker game.
Does he go there often?
Well, he gets everything there except groceries.
And does he ever sell things there?
Oh, sure he does. Buy and sell every week. Hey, what do you want to know that for?
Well, I was just interested, Beth. Just very interested.
Well, Pamela Wiley, formerly Sister Pamela, seems to be on a crusade of her own. And like the crusaders before her, her goal is a sacred object. But the crusaders of the past had much trouble before they even reached their goal. Will Pamela? We'll find out when I return with Act 3.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Young I may be,
But still I'm a man, just turned 18, and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and the truth. Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I'm finished with school, but what lies ahead? Don't wanna get trapped, wanna feel free instead.
The new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Pamela Wiley is taking one of the longest walks of her life. It's only a few blocks long, but her destination is the doorway of Wormer's Pawn Shop just around the corner from 200 Rice Avenue. She pauses at the window, so covered in dust and grime that she cannot even see her reflection in the glass. It's just as well, because if she did, she would have seen the reflection of a very tense and frightened young lady.
Wanna buy?
What?
You here to huck something or buy something, miss?
Oh, a buy.
Only reason I ask, it's a little early. I don't like to make appraisals this early, you know. I'm still half asleep.
Oh, yes, I understand. Of course, I don't know if you have what I want. I'm looking for something ornamental for my apartment.
Well, like what?
I don't really know. Perhaps an interesting lamp or something.
Sorry, I don't carry lamps.
Oh, well, some interesting... Oh, an antique, maybe.
Well, that's the antique store you want, lady. This is a pawn shop.
Well, do you have any religious objects?
I got rosaries, jewelry, some pictures. You tell me what you want, I'll look for it.
I'm not really sure. Maybe some sculpture would be nice.
Sculpture? You mean like a statue?
Yes. Oh, yes, that would be perfect. Do you have any religious statues, small ones?
I'll go check in the back. You wait here. Sorry I had to keep you waiting. I think I got a nice statue of St. Francis.
St. Francis?
Yeah, the one with the birds. Come to think of it, it should be right over here. Yeah. There it is.
Oh.
Is this the kind of thing you mean?
Oh, yes. Oh, it is the kind of thing.
It's a little beat up looking, but you could polish it up real nice. It wouldn't look bad at all.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't mind that.
It's a real fine piece of work, you know. Don't think it's just junk.
Oh, no.
It ain't cheap, either.
How much?
Well, on account of it's my first sale today, I'll tell you what. It's yours for $20.
Well, it's a little more than I thought.
Take it or leave it.
Oh, it's all right, I'll take it. I think I have a $20 bill in my purse.
Here, I'll help you with
that. What are you doing?
Help you find that $20 in your purse.
You're spilling everything out.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm seeing what spills out, you know.
Give it back to me.
All I want to do is check, miss. In my business, we like to know who we're dealing with.
Jimmy.
You got here fast.
I didn't even have time to button my shirt. All right, what did you find?
What is it?
Nothing in her purse. No gun, no identification. You sure she's a cop?
I don't know, but she's been acting like a cop, all right. That's why I told you to call me if she showed up. All right, what about it, honey? You want to tell Jimmy all about it?
Please, I just came in to buy something.
You were pumping Bess after the party. She told me about it last night when she came to the Silver Crown.
But I'm not with the police, I swear it.
And why all the questions, huh? Why all the nosing around?
Take it easy. I don't want no trouble in here.
She's something. She's got to be. Bess told her I do business in your place, and now she shows up here the next morning. Don't that sound fishy to you?
Well, it's funny.
Come on, baby.
Jimmy, don't. I was just the statue. Oh, I just wanted the statue.
The what?
I guess she's this thing.
What's the statue got to do with... Wait a minute. Wait. You're right, Wurma. She's not a cop. Yeah, she's been acting like a cop, but that's not what she is.
Please. Oh, please let me go. I didn't mean any harm. Please let me go.
Oh, no, sugar. You're not a cop at all. What you are is a nun.
Are you nuts?
It was in her suitcase. I snatched it from her at Union Station. Only what's she doing here?
Listen, I'm not a nun anymore. I left the order over a month ago. I had to find the statue, don't you see? It was a gift to the convent, and it meant so much to them.
I told you it was bad luck robbing the nun.
Shut up.
I didn't come here to get you into trouble. I didn't want anything but the statue. I swear it.
Oh, you went to a lot of trouble, too, didn't you? You took that job at Gramercy just to get next to me.
Yes, that's true.
Can you beat that? You ever hear anything like that, Wilma? Let me see that statue.
Yeah. It's valuable, Jimmy, but only to the church, only for its meaning, that's all.
Valuable?
Spiritual, I mean. It's not gold or anything, Jimmy, I swear it, please. It's only bronze.
She's right, Jimmy. I know gold when I see it. There's a piece of junk. Give her the thing. Let her go.
You jerk. You believe that junk about spiritual value? This thing is old. Yeah, I should have seen it before. It's maybe hundreds of years old.
So what?
It may be worth a fortune.
Huh? Hey, you know, you could be right. Some of this religious stuff runs into thousands.
Yeah, maybe we could make a deal with some art collector. Yeah, we could handle it to Mike the broker. He'll know what it's worth.
You want to bring Mike in on this?
Why not? It's his specialty.
But what about the girl?
That depends.
Please, Jimmy. You don't have to sell it. I'll pay whatever you ask.
Well, how much, honey? Think you could scrape up a couple of grand?
If you'll give me time.
Now, you see what I mean? It is worth plenty. Now, you take the sister in the back room, Wurma, and we'll call Mike. We'll tell him to come to us.
He won't do it.
He'll come when he hears what we have.
What happens if we make a deal? What about her?
If the deal is good enough, it'll be worth anything.
I don't know. It's been 2 hours. He ain't here yet.
He'll be here. Stop worrying.
How can I help it? Listen, Jimmy, that gag you got on the nun, you think it's okay?
She can breathe. Can you breathe, sugar?
No.
Just meditate, honey. You know how to do that, don't you? There he is. I told you he'd be here. Hey, Mike, we're in the back room.
Well. That's a pretty picture. Who's the girl?
She's a nun, Mike. No kidding.
A nun? In those clothes? With a gag over her mouth?
Ah, she started making too much noise. We had to keep her quiet. Listen, Mike, I got something that's going to knock your eyes out.
Listen, my name isn't Mike Bresson. It's Mr. Downey to you.
Yeah, sure. But look at this, Mr. Downey. This statue.
We figured it was valuable on account of the nun. Went to so much trouble to find it. She even left the convent.
Now, we want good terms, Mr. Downey. 50...
Now, wait a minute. Not so fast. What happens to the girl after?
Now, we'll take care of her. You can trust us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll bet I can. All right. Let's see the statue.
Now, right here. Look at it.
You had this on sale here?
I was going to sell it for $20. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine it, since it's only worth $2.
What?
You heard me. Melt it down for scrap. Maybe it's worth $3, $3.50. The next time you guys handle junk, call a junk dealer, but don't call Mike.
It's got to be worth something.
Look, don't teach me my business, Junior.
But... the nun, she went to so much trouble.
Yeah, the nun. Don't you know about nuns? They don't understand about money. They're not smart like you and me. They'll kill themselves over a piece of junk just because it was blessed. Oh, you'd be amazed at the dumb things they do, all that working and praying and don't get a nickel out of it.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm taking this gag out of her mouth here. There. You better not get her sore at you. She's liable to say a prayer and send you all to hell. Come on, miss. I'm taking you out of this place.
Thank you. Thank
Yeah, but wait a minute. We got to get something out of this.
You said 20 bucks, didn't you? There. Consider yourself lucky. Let's go, sister.
Oh, Mr. Downey. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to thank you.
Just take the statue where it belongs, and say hello to God for me.
And so Pamela Wiley returned to the Holy Name Convent. And this time, she wasn't alone. St. Francis was with her. And you'll be pleased to know that she was in time to place the statue before the dimming eyes of Sister Lydia. Nice to have a happy ending for a change, isn't it?
Peter Ustinov speaks for UNICEF.
The nations of this world spend as much on the children of this world as they do on armaments in 2 hours. And did you know that the problems of these children would be well on the way to being settled at the cost of 1 day of war, 1 day of local war, 1 day of clean, modern war? And did you know that UNICEF manages to reach 100 million children, which means, unfortunately, that it fails to reach 900 million. This, of course, should be the job of governments, but at the moment it's the job of individuals as much as governments. And if you are as troubled by these facts as I, then you will give as generously as you possibly can to UNICEF, the world organization, to help children, to help tomorrow, to help us.
Despite the fact that the story you've just heard ended happily, we hope you won't continue to expect sweetness and light from the Radio Mystery Theater. Unfortunately, most of the people we deal with are not nearly as nice as Sister Pamela Wiley, or Big Mike Downey, for that matter. But if you don't mind spending some time with thieves, murderers, monsters, and other assorted villains, listen for us next time. Our cast included Rosemary Rice, Bryna Rayburn, Ann Petoniak, Jack Grimes, Joe Silver, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Even tricks go wrong sometimes, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Did anything like that ever happen to your husband?
Well, yeah, once. He couldn't open the lock on his handcuffs. See, he had a key hidden in the cuff of his trousers, but it slipped out of his hand and fell between the cracks of the floorboard. He wasn't hurt or anything. It was just a wicker basket escape on stage.
I see. But if anything like that happened now, I mean, at the bottom of a lake.
Well, that would be terrible. It'd be awful.
Yeah. It would be really tragic, wouldn't it?
I don't want to think about any such thing. I just don't want to think about it.
No, of course not, Wanda. At least, we won't think about it tonight.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Now stay tuned for the news next.
bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
Pacific Daylight Time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford has ended a one-day campaign blitz that took him to four states. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president's last appearance before returning to Washington was a speech Wednesday evening to a Republican fundraiser in Indianapolis. Most experts see the Republicans facing big losses in the November elections. The president said that would not be good for the country.
If we end up with a lopsided, veto-proof Congress, as some people are saying they're going to get, or they demand, or they insist will be the result of the voters on November 5th, let me say this, you'll end up with a legislative dictatorship, which is totally contrary to the concept of a free government.
Earlier, the president made campaign appearances in Missouri, South Dakota, and Nebraska. More news in a moment. Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. In a speech in New York Wednesday night, Secretary of State Kissinger said the time has come for a national reconciliation to heal the wounds of Vietnam and Watergate. Kissinger deplored what he called the bitterness that has characterized the national debate for most of a decade. The secretary said the world desperately needs the leadership of a self-confident America. With testimony underway in the Watergate cover-up trial, a decision over whether to compel an appearance by Richard Nixon appears to be near. Fred Graham has a report.
Judge John Sirica stated in open court that he is considering sending a team of three court-appointed doctors to give their opinion as to whether Richard Nixon's phlebitis condition makes it too dangerous for him to obey subpoenas to testify at the trial. Now the prosecution has supported that suggestion, stating in court papers that since Mr. Nixon has been accused of participating in the conspiracy, quote, it would be only natural for him to seek to avoid an obligation to testify. The government contends that actually Mr. Nixon's physicians have not provided clear and convincing proof that he is too sick to appear as a witness. They insist that Judge Sirica could simply order Mr. Nixon to appear. But out of an abundance of caution, the government said it would not object to the examination by court-appointed doctors. The issue will be argued, but since nobody involved has objected to the checkup by court-appointed physicians, it seems likely that that will be done. Fred Graham, CBS News, at the federal courthouse in Washington.
The Senate Rules Committee has turned down a request by Nelson Rockefeller for an immediate reappearance to answer questions in his confirmation hearings. The Rules Committee has decided to wait until after the November elections. Rockefeller said he wanted to explain issues raised over his nomination to be vice president. Democrats on the committee forced the delay, for which Republicans expressed regrets. Police in Seoul, South Korea, say at least 16 people were killed and about 40 others hurt early Thursday when fire raged through a nine-story hotel in the capital. Authorities said there were 63 registered guests in the hotel, including two Americans. There's no word on whether the Americans were hurt. Speaking in Washington Wednesday night, Defense Secretary Schlesinger said in light of a continued Soviet buildup in Eastern Europe, the U.S. Army is only marginally adequate to make its contribution to NATO. Schlesinger warned against further cuts in defense spending. Now this.
Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story.
New faces, key races.
Time examines the credentials of an unusual gubernatorial candidate, Edmund G. Brown, Jr. of California, the man favored to succeed Ronald Reagan.
Time peels away the private layers of this public man, who cracks jokes in Latin,
was a corporation lawyer,
a follower of Cesar Chavez,
and was California's Secretary of State.
Time also watches other races in the state houses, the Senate, and the House.
In the economy, Time's Board of Economists says the recession will continue into 1975 and predicts unemployment will rise to 7% by next summer.
In the essay, a report on President Ford's proposals for reforming the U.S. regulatory agencies.
In the world, why Henry Kissinger does not accept the idea of the decline of the West in spite of the present crisis of leadership.
Britain, the significance of Prime Minister Wilson's tiny victory.
Monte Carlo, how three Saudi Arabian princes dropped more than $6 million at roulette.
And then Time's reviews.
Criticisms of 8 films, 3 plays, and 3 books.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting,
including you.
The Oakland Athletics Wednesday night moved to just 1 game away from their 3rd straight World Series title. The A's beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-2, and Oakland took a 3-1 edge in the series. The A's can clinch the title with a win in Thursday night's game. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather outlook for the Puget Sound area, night and morning fog, mostly sunny afternoons through Friday. Lows in the mid-40s, highs Thursday and Friday in the upper 60s, winds light and variable. Presently 56 degrees at both SeaTac and downtown Seattle.